Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From the trial of the century, nay, millennia, a trial that has put a considerable strain on the public purse and will finally bring justice to the universe. Just who was it who put Sill on a road control car and sent it to the Sidemen disco during the Monster Mash? We present A Wheezing Groaning Sound, the only podcast about Doctor Who in existence. My name is John Raining. Joining me are two men who are never afraid to talk a right load of Ravelocks. Oh, Litchfield and Tom Neenan. So join us for this somber occasion as we dispose of the glitz and glamour, put our dibbers in the finest of inks, and say goodbye to a dear old friend, sending him on his way with love and best wishes as we investigate the mysterious planet.
Oh.
But before we get into all that, and quickly, what was on television that night?
Well, it's the 6th of September, 1986, everyone. And television, luckily for this particular episode, was Slim Beckham. BBC One started 6:45 at the Open University. Courses included football, metals, lasers. I'm so sorry, Bert. 8:30 afterwards, the Clangers. Yeah. Then it was the Family Ness.
You can rock them, you can duck them, you can get them, but you'll never find a Nessie in your poo. In the poo.
So, never, you do find a Nessie in your poo. Yeah. That's right, to BBC Woodlane. After that was the Saturday Picture Show. Do you remember this?
It's
the weird danger space betwixt.
Yes.
Kids' TV that never quite bedded in. The Saturday Picture Show with Mark Curry and Cheryl Baker.
Mark Curry again.
Yeah. Jokes, cartoons.
Curry and Baker.
Baker Curry. Mm.
Jokes, cartoons, features, surprises. Also, we visit a Blackpool talent contest. A sensory circus.
Oh.
And Owen Paul drops in, everyone's favourite waste of time. You're my baby, you're my favourite waste of time. There's one hit wonder.
Better than Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
You're my dead man in the forest.
I filmed.
Yeah.
Come on, Sam.
Bravo!
We've got a lot to get through in 40 minutes.
Oh, sorry, okay. Anyway, after that was Grandstand, Buddy, Grandstand. Then it was a brand new show, first time ever, the Roland Rat the Series.
No, thank
you. Hates him so much. I hate him so much, I mooned him on a monorail.
Yeah, we have.
That's true.
He's a traitor as well, isn't he? Because he started on TVAM and then got his show on BBC.
A traitor. Yeah, he should have been shot.
Actual rat.
Shot against the wall, you dirty rat.
Yeah.
You shoot him.
Dirty rat.
Anyway, after Roland Rat Show, Doctor Who, Trial of the Time Lord Part 1. They don't call it the Mysterious Planet, do they?
No. Yeah. Nor does iPlayer.
No. Doesn't say a word. There is a blurb for you, Tom. Here
it
is.
Please.
You had to do it quick. placed on trial by his peers, the Doctor is forced to watch events from his past beginning.
Forced.
So are we.
Watch events from his past, beginning with an incident on Ravelocks involving the curiously named Marb Arch. That's really got fuck all to do with it.
They do mention it. But
They see a dusty sign.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. After that was Teleaddicts.
Oh! I used to fucking love Teleaddicts.
So did I. Yeah, absolutely adored it.
I really wanted to go on there, but my family.
But do you know what?
This is not really.
This isn't any old fucking oi polloi families. This is a celebrity special.
Oh, yeah, it's on Saturday, so I'd assume so. Because it's a weekday.
And, it's a soap edition. Who do you reckon's versus who?
Dobson.
Oh, it'd be EastEnders, surely.
Versus?
Coronation. No, it'd be BBC, so it'd be...
EastEnders, yes.
El Dorado.
Howard's Way.
Howard's Way, of course.
EastEnders versus Howard's Way. Mm. Can you imagine that?
Bunga-ga-dunga-ga-dunga-ga-dunga-ga-dunga. That was the theme tune. Mm.
To what? Oh, yeah. To, I thought you asked, that's certainly not the theme tune to Howard's Way.
No.
That was... Always there. But the ending was... two things.
Like Enfield's Norses.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Greedy.
After Telly Addicts was Every Second Counts.
With Paul Daniels.
Paul Daniels. Oh, brand new game show. So you've had two brand new shows on that day.
That's incredible.
That was where he would look at Dracula films.
but only every second film was there.
And they just go, oh, I don't know what it was. Yeah. Oh, Debbie, tell me. after that was the Russ Abbott show.
Songs of joy and tears of laughter are all we need to live our lives. Banana.
No write-off, I'm afraid.
Oh. Just put funny. It was going to be funny.
Was Les Dennis in it at that point?
Oh, yeah, just as Teddy Boys.
And Bella Emberg.
Paul Shearer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got two of your comedy large ladies.
Yes.
Repping this.
And they kept them on separate sides of the studio, you know what I mean? Sorry.
And Sherry Hewson was always in it as well.
Sherry Hewson was always in it, yeah. After that, Casualty, episode one, Gas.
On that bottom.
Doesn't say.
Mr. Rottweiler was in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Casualty was all about the build-up, is it? Waiting for the accident to happen. Yeah, so I hope it is someone who literally farts near fire.
Well, here I am working.
Have a look at this, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
Explosion.
His head comes out of his own anus.
Oh, yeah. They'd always subvert it, like with Final Destination.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they'd always lead you down a little thing when you were like, well, he's got a ladder out. You're like, but don't worry, it was actually
like the best
ostrich
one.
That went up his bum.
I found it. I tweeted about it once. Yeah. There's a woman playing squash with her mate.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you think, oh, she's going to slip over and bang her head. She
Ooh.
Slips.
Yeah.
Smashes the racket on the wall.
Yeah. Concorde comes
brings
through,
it around,
her head.
Sticks it right in her neck.
No!
And then Concorde lands on her.
And Concorde lands on her. Right up her bum hole.
Right up her bum. That's up her bum hole, which is really weird because the bum is down.
And then Charlie Fairhead come and go, hey, if you're going to fight, take it outside with
take
you.
It outside, take it outside.
This is a hospital.
Also, can you take me outside?
I've been in this programme for 35 years and I'm one of the BBC's highest earning entertainers.
That nobody cares about.
Yeah.
As well he should. Couldn't pick him out of the lineup, but I'm glad he's doing well.
Good no, friend. Absolutely. Yeah. Good on him. Tell you what, lovely film after Casualty. It's Saturday movie. It's only Saturn 3.
Oh,
what a film.
That's Kirk Douglas,
Kirk
isn't it?
Kirk Douglas, Harvey Keitel,
malfunctioning
evil robot.
Robot. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. Looking great in it. It's a great film. I love Saturn 3. Love Saturn 3.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm. A lot of fun. That was it for BBC One.
Mm. That's all you need.
BBC Two, programme started at 6:50.
Early.
Open University. Mm-hmm. Courses include, I'm so sorry, Bert, Greece, fossils, Venice, maths, hazarded waste.
That you really struggle with that, aren't you?
I'm so sorry, Bert.
Venice
so
might
sorry.
Be a bit... No.
Venice. Oh, canal. No, fossils. Oh, tits. No. Greece. It might be on the beach. Oh, Doris. It's a city John. Break edition. Oh. They're in Athens. Who gives a... And after that was cricket from Lords.
Oh, my goodness.
From 3:15 to 7:25. And then it was Newsview with John Keening. Then it was the US Open.
Oh my god, BBC Two.
Then it was cricket again.
Arid,
and
arid.
Then it fucking closed down. And that, I'm so sorry. Also, we are in a rush.
We're in a huge. We've got half an hour.
Those are television results of BBC One and BBC Two. Mm. Right, go.
But
you've
why
got
would you be
12 minutes
of that?
Per episode.
Thinking that because we begin in media res.
Yay!
With opening model shop that cost £8,000.
Do you know what? It's really good.
Looks
really
fantastic,
good.
And the music's great as well.
Looks great, and the TARDIS coming into the tunnel looks brilliant.
Yeah.
The Doctor lands, sees TARDIS aboard a Gallifreyan space station.
Lovely
and he walks in and he's like, sticks it here. he's presented with a dark room with one man sat there.
This is brilliant.
Who is the Valiar.
That's like a dad sat at home waiting for his daughter to get home.
Yeah, what time did you call this?
Where the have you been?
Dressed like that.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'd be confused of any child of mine when I'm Colin Baker.
Even Colin Baker doesn't dress like Colin Baker anymore.
No.
Yeah, that's the point. When they did the TARDIS tales, he's not in his costume, is he?
I think it's
hanging up near him.
It was someone's job to like present it to him and have him go, get that thing away from me.
I ruined my life.
I think they should have assisted. Personally.
You think they really? They should have insisted.
Well, all the others were in them. Why not
I've
him?
Seen him wearing it in the Sixth Doctor's.
Yes,
special, and it's just like
I know.
Oh yeah, he's not. Doesn't
he was incredibly sweet in that though, wasn't he?
Oh, he's lovely.
I haven't watched the Tardis Tales yet. I've been away since they all came on.
They're wonderful,
lovely. No, it really is. Really is, genuinely. Colin one, I think, was my favourite.
I will watch them when I get home.
It's very sweet.
I've been
so sweet.
I've been Littlest Hobo in for the last few
weeks. So dressed as a dog walking along a road.
Maybe it's a nozzle.
I want to settle down. Maybe tomorrow I'll piss on the cadaver of a clown. Don't do that, Littlest Hobo. He has to offset every good thing he does every so often by doing something horrible.
He's not Littlest Hobo. If he was a chihuahua.
Exactly.
If he was an ant.
Yeah, a little ant.
Sure. Or some bacteria.
It's a large dog.
What about some bacteria that goes around helping? Well, there's a lot of bacteria does that.
Yeah, you got.
Love it, does. Good bacteria. We've got 29 minutes. So.
I love the fact, by the way, I'm so sorry. This is the last column we will ever do. I'm giving it such
short shrift. I wanted to give it so much reverence as well.
Can't
now. No. I feel like Michael Grade.
Clock is ticking.
Yeah, so the doctor's informed this may be a dark room full of men.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's a trial.
This is one of your trials.
Yeah. And in comes the Inquisitor, who's obviously there for a stock take, because it's Linda Bellingham.
Yay!
Nice.
Good joke about stock there.
Loose women.
He's told that we're informed that the doctor is an incorrigible meddler.
No. Yeah.
And he's been on trial before, apparently, for eating all you can eat at a buffet.
I think in The Deadly Assassin he was on trial.
Assassin.
Yeah. The doctor says that everything is a farce.
Yes.
And then we're shown video footage from The Matrix
of
the doctor's recent involvement in the planet Revelox. He says the doctor willingly became involved in the affairs of a planet. He always does.
Yeah.
I know that's the point, but...
And that's what the doctor also labours all the time. He goes, yeah, I do, and I turn up and I help. And he goes, at the end of this one, he goes, see?
Yeah. It's completely pointless. What a waste of Gallifreyan money.
I don't have a fucking leg to stand on here, do I?
What if they'd just shown any other episode?
Yeah,
they could have been an excuse just to be like, oh, save a bit of money.
Yeah.
Just show on, they could do a bit of separate filming. Show on where the doctor's literally just kicking children and just like shitting on people's
heads. Show City of Death, then cut back to Colin and go, and that's when we thought we were really in trouble. Well, they land on Ravelox. It's a very wet and miserable planet, we're told.
It is, yeah.
And you get a rare moment, nice moment here, of Colin and Perry, but he's being affectionate towards
him. Yeah, he's been really lovely.
I don't know. Should we go find out?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. He gives her a little playful
little doink.
Well, she's been, again, tastefully dressed for the first time in ages.
Yes. It's a little taste of what could have been, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
Though I got to say, it was a mistake growing that massive perm he did.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Because it doesn't go with what he's wearing.
Blonde perm.
Yeah, it does look odd.
Although my mind just keeps returning to the first time you see Colin in Peter's costume, and I think it's much better fit of him than it was with Peter.
Yeah. I know. Who's the comedian who's like from Liverpool and had a big blonde perm? Nope. Okay. If we don't know it, we're moving on. Oh, I see.
Billy Pierce?
Maybe Billy Pierce.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Paul Carf? I don't know.
One of them.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So we find out that the planet was devastated by a solar fireball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Perry's like, I can't hear any birds.
I can't hear the boy.
And he's like, I'm fucking looking at one now, baby. And he goes, I thought you would. I wondered when you noticed that.
You noticed that.
So when they're chatting away, meanwhile, looking at them is Sabalon Glitz and Dibber.
Do you know what? I think the Glitz and Dibber two of those are brilliant.
Yes.
Especially in episode one. I went, God, I really like this.
Yeah.
But when episode one ended, I resorted right back to going, no, don't write shit. Yeah. I thought episode one was brilliant. I love their toing and froing.
Do you like the tram lines in their beards?
Love them.
Mm.
And I think Glitz is hilarious.
Oh, he's a great character.
He's so funny.
My psychologist said that I have psychological tendencies.
Yeah.
That I just tried to kill him at
Why'd
the time.
Why'd you do that for? Well, I was trying to kill him at the time. Yeah.
It's fun,
he's hilarious.
I can't go over Dibber, though, because I was a fan back in the day of London's Burning.
Of course,
He
was in that very serious role.
He was,
here he's being, I don't know, Mr. Glitz.
I don't know, I'm a bit flip
I think he's really good.
No, they're great.
I'll do exactly what you say, Mr. Glitz.
Yeah.
Put that in my mouth, okay. He's talking about a mint.
A mint. My breath smells. I'm sorry, Mr. Glitz.
Yeah, because he's had pocket.
You just swallowed all my cum.
Colin's last story.
Oh.
A bit of reverence, please.
If you're listening, Colin, we love you.
We do love you.
And we're so sorry you're going. I'm actually quite sad that we got no more Sills or Collins.
No.
No more Sills. No more Sills.
No, sorry. Sill as well. Sill.
Sill. Yeah. No more Sills.
Sill McCoy. God, no, stop.
Yeah.
Doctor and Perry go underground.
Going underground.
Going underground.
Where the people are dressed like Devo. And they. This is what happens when you take a wrong turn at Bank.
Yeah.
You literally end up at Marb Arch.
Yeah. Marb Arch.
Nice set work though. Love it. Mm, the abandoned escalator.
Yeah. Reminds me of Tripods. The bit where they go to the underground in France.
Reminds me of the bed sitting room.
Oh, yeah.
As well, when they come out to the other side.
Arthur Lowe.
Oh, very good.
So he suspects that Ravelox is just Earth, but it's in a different. It's been shifted.
Mm.
Yes.
Because it has got a similar arc and tilt and all that stuff. And
she's like, Marble Arch Station, you dick.
Perry's like, what do you mean this is what happens to Earth? This is my planet. And I'm like, it's 2 million years in the future. Yeah. It doesn't affect you.
Well, it does,
I love
though.
That little speech he gives about even stars perish. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it?
Nothing's forever, looking down the barrel of the camera. Sometimes they get rid of really good things.
Making a garrotting motion across his own neck.
Sometimes someone gets a part they really enjoy playing and they fire them.
And they're really committed to it and they're always really nice about the show.
They have to appear on live TV the next day on a children's show and pretend it hasn't happened.
I mean, it could be worse, Perry. They could put a big weird jacket on Earth, couldn't they? Make it look stupid.
Give it a script editor who doesn't like the actor who's playing Earth.
Imagine that, Perry. but the doctor goes, well, this door's hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a look?
Could have chips
I'm really depressed, doctor.
Yeah, she says, I'm going to stay here. I'm worried. And he goes, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
And then he walks off and then comes back and goes, you sure?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She goes, I am, doctor.
And then she gets taken by the tribe.
Oh, no.
And who does she get taken to?
She gets taken to... Well, first of all, before that, the doctor meets Devo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's captured by the people who say they follow the immortal.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Glitz and Dibber are captured and brought to before Joan Sims. Glitz tells her there's a big erection that gets hot outside.
And also, for the first time, we're actually watching Carry On, Doctor.
Yeah. She says she's an old woman and many have tried to destroy the erection.
Yes.
She's excited about their guns.
Yeah. I kind of like that. She's just seen it and heard it all before.
Yeah,
Loads of people turn up, star travellers. Mm. They always say it's something different. They're always trying to nick it. Mm. She thinks it's a symbol of their new renewed culture.
She thinks she calls it a totem.
Totem.
Yeah. The doctor, meanwhile, is introduced to Balthazar.
Mm.
Yes.
Who informs him he has many ancient books, some featuring water, some stationery, and some featuring horny housewives in his area. He keeps calling Doctor Old One.
Old One.
I'm only 900 years old.
Ah, lovely.
Doctor is stoned.
Yeah.
But uses his umbrella to ensure he only gets two massive rocks in his face.
Which is enough.
Then turns around the trial and goes, that was a good idea I did. It's like, no, they hit you.
They hit you with loads of stones and it clearly hurt.
He said, I took everyone by surprise.
And the Devo men say that they have only three completed books of text that they've based their entire society on.
Mm.
And one is Moby Dick.
Yeah.
The other one is?
Oh, what is it? It's a guide to something.
I always think the last one should have been The Joy of Sex.
They could have all had beards and been naked.
Yeah.
So the Valiard, meanwhile, because we've cut back to the trial now, he turns around and he says, well, Doctor, this started as an inquiry, but it is now a trial, and if you're found guilty, you will die.
Where does this come from?
Can you do that?
Well, actually, no, because in the next episode, Linda Belling goes, do you know what?
I'll decide that,
loony. You went from a little investigation death.
Yeah.
So we go to episode two, where we see one of the saddest falls from grace ever.
Oh.
The doctor is brought to Merdeen, who's played by Duggan.
Duggan.
Our beloved Duggan.
Duggan's back. And he's a Merdeen.
Merdeen. It's our logic thing, which is if you've done a really good Who, don't come back.
Don't come back. Especially when you're fucking Duggan.
You're Duggan.
He's one of the best people ever.
Do you know what? Yeah. He does valiantly.
Oh, he's a very good actor.
He does Valiardy.
He really does his best.
Yeah.
So
he has a little character arc as well, which is quite nice.
It's nice. Yeah. We find out he's like a secret. He's like a bit of a Schindler.
He's a secret lemonade
drinker,
isn't he?
He's helping people escape.
Yeah.
So he's brought Doctor's brought before the Immortal,
which
is the robot that Glitz mentions earlier. He's looking forward to the L3.
Yes. Mm. Who was built by Sophie Ellis-Bextor's granddad.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Fun little story. And his real name's Drethro.
That's right, yeah.
Laugh-a-buzz, he was built in Tintagel.
I was built by Denzel Pemberthy.
Bill Padua.
So Perry has brought to Joan Sims, who says that she will need to take many husbands for the tribe. And she goes, husbands? Plural? And he's like, she's like, yeah. Perry's like, oh, bloody hell.
She's like, about seven to start with. There's loads of excited male people looking in the window.
But then she's locked with Glitz and Dibber, which seems like a bad thing to do when you're locking a young woman with two horny middle-aged men.
Yeah.
So Glitz wants to gas people under the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're taken to Joan Sims, and she calls Glitz the fat one.
The fat one.
And she goes, you can fucking talk. apparently, he's going to be sacrificed, because this is what they do with their totem. They sacrifice people to the gods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
The robot calls itself Drethro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What happened was. The Inquisitor asks why we're being shown a clip of admin.
Yes.
And the boatyard says it's more proof that the Doctor is always interfering. No, it's not.
No, he's not there.
Really isn't. Yeah.
And then he says, and then he calls him the graveyard.
And later, the farmyard. Yeah. It's all right.
What I love, this is basically
Everard.
Them calling out how bad the episodes are structured anyway. Because they keep going, why are we watching? Hang on, why is that Joan Sim?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is Joan Sim in this?
You can't write an episode where you're also going, this is shit, isn't it?
Well, this is Robert Holmes, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is his last thing he ever did.
Well, because he was going to bookend Trial of the Time Lord, but he died in between Ultimate Foe 1 and 2.
Oh, that old excuse.
Yeah.
Dying.
So Drethro orders the Doctor to make necessary repairs.
Yeah.
And we meet his two assistants.
They're a bit tedious, aren't they?
Unnecessary and
so
tedious.
So annoying.
Yeah. Lots of Holmesian double acts we've got here.
One of them's clearly Scottish and can't
was
do anything.
Humbug and Hambag or something?
Bibbly B and Buddly Bo.
Yeah, something like that. They actually look like Erasure.
They do.
That's them.
It's a bit like what's
that? That's the sound of their doorbell.
Who are the Irish boys? Jedward.
Oh, Jethro. Jedward.
Jedward.
Yeah, sorry.
Jedward.
So the Doctor points out. The Doctor points out that he's not interfering, but working under duress. And Linda Belling goes, "Yeah, he's right."
Yeah.
So the Doctor manages to temporarily electrify the robot, and everybody going, "Here, hold this."
Oh, that's so very stupid, good.
See you later, fuckers. So Drethro sends a service robot after the Doctor.
Oh,
meanwhile,
God.
Glitz...
hang on, that service robot going down the corridor in fast forward, because it obviously moves so slow.
Wait until they do it in reverse, when it hugs Colin in reverse.
That's really embarrassing
that's
as well.
That just really made me feel physically ill.
So Glitz and everybody overpower the guards and escape, but not before planting a bomb on the Black Light Jedi. Well done, Dibber. They're also pursued by the tribe.
Yeah.
So Imerdin, who hates everything, wants Balthasar to escape because he's read books and stands a chance in the outside world.
Yes.
So Perry, Glitz and Dibber eventually find the Doctor back at the ruins of Mar Barch, trapped between the tribe and the service robot.
What's going to happen?
And he says, I really think this could be the end.
Yeah.
Which would mean something if we weren't literally watching him in the future having survived this.
Yeah. And also he knows it's part two of four. So you're like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
imagine if he died and then they're all just looking at him in the courtroom being like, where were you? What? Yeah. What happened there?
And they turn around and he's dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
The rotten corpse.
Yeah.
Oh, so he did die.
for eight more episodes.
That's effectively what happened, isn't it? He gets killed over the phone.
Yeah.
Like in real life. Meanwhile, the tribes in episode 3, the tribesmen disable the robot by shooting it.
Yeah, everyone ducks and they fire at the robot instead. Yeah. And you go,
I like this bit though when they go, oh, we need to get back to the dark energy, which is what the immortal runs on.
I like it as well when some of the Morbi people meet some of the natives and they go, oh, it's you.
Yes, you used to work with us.
You used to, and they say, I've escaped, you see. And they're like, oh, so it is true. There are the above people.
Yeah.
Merdin is helping people escape.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
I like it when then Dibber goes, oh, and then Glitz, says, oh, we blew that up. And he goes, you blew it up? What'd you do that for? So the Doctor tries to explain the nature of the totem.
Yeah.
But Joan Sims is not impressed.
Still not having it.
Puts them all in a cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when they're in there, Glitz confirms that Ravelox is Earth.
Yeah.
So then the service robot comes through the wall and picks up Colin. Mm. Well, Colin comes and goes, hello, I am the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. It looks a bit erotic somehow.
Yeah. Like, hugs
silver, sex gamey thing.
Silver robot spunk
because
comes out.
The way it's sinuously wrapped around it, but then in reverse, it sort of looks a bit...
Yeah, because he sort of like hugs it in a way.
Yeah. It all looks like Tony, when I saw that, I actually went sort of like a bit of a, like a sort of shudder of about it. And I, in Twin Peaks, that must have been what it must have been like in the Black Lodge all the time. Yeah. Just if you went to the toilet, it'd be like, yeah. So your poo would curl up your own leg and then go in your eye. And that would be the way to poo. And you'd be like, oh, I hate it here. Anyway.
Yeah. Brown Lodge, more like. meanwhile, Joan Sims is told they killed the robot, and she thinks that's the immortal.
Mm. Yeah.
So she goes, right, we're going to go to Drathro's castle, the immortal's castle.
They're a bunch of dumb pricks. Yeah. Honestly, the upstairs people.
And then we meet Broken Tooth, who looks like Jesse's diet. Yeah. This week, I have mostly been shooting service robots.
Mostly been in a failing Doctor Who series.
I was going to put that he looks like a blood axe, but we don't have time.
No, we don't have time. That's a real shame.
So they're going to go to the castle and steal all the technology for themselves. Yeah. They're
like they'd know what to do with any of it. Yeah.
No, they say we'll sell it to scientists.
There you go.
So that covers that.
Yeah.
So the Doctor manages to escape again. And him and Perry go to the underground again.
Uh-huh. Again.
And because they need to somehow get the dark energy thing. Mm. Back going again.
No, they need to stop it from exploding because it's already going to explode.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And it will take Perry's like, let's just go. And he's like, well, no, if we go, it'll destroy the whole universe.
Yeah, as he said, it won't just take up the planet. Mm. The resulting explosion will just rip through the universe. Yeah. So now he has to intervene. Again, doing good thing.
Two episodes ago, the Doctor was not concerned about missiles heading towards a nuclear power plant. But this tiny little beacon is going to be difficult, I guess.
So they're going back into the complex and they meet Merdeen again. Uh-huh. And he says, oh, Merdeen, good to see you. And he goes, oh, I'm hunting. And he goes, who are you hunting? And he goes, you.
Whoa.
And he fires his gun. End.
Oh,
but no, it turns out he's killed Grell.
Yeah.
Who's just the guy from Four Weddings and a Funeral, gets married at the
beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's died. Mm. Then goodbye. Joan Sims and the tribe come in and go, ah, ha,
this is so funny. This is so good. It's literally like, ha, ha, we've got it. And then the robot goes, electrocute, die.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Joan Sims sort of partially melts.
She melts. Yeah.
It's so pathetic. It's just people pitchforks like, and they're so happy and then die.
The subversion would be if they somehow overpower them using their rustic
primitive
abilities.
Yeah.
But it's not. What happens is the thing you'd expect, which is the very powerful robot kills everyone.
Grabs Tony with this hooky ratchet thing and then just
melts
and they all just die.
The robot's voiced by have you ever seen Bottom when Richie thinks he's got bad luck because he's upset the travelling folk?
Oh, yeah.
And that doctor's in there and he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
It's that guy.
Oh, well.
There you go.
They're defeated by Drathro. The Doctor kicks off because footage keeps being removed. Mm. It's like, why don't we go over there?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what's going on?
If you're the Valiard, can you just present a case that he's not meddled with,
dodgy,
tampered with, and not already ready looks like the Doctor's the nicest man who ever lived?
Yeah, yeah. The Doctor goes, Perry, you'll find World War II was started by... he says, the Doctor says...
9/11 was an inside... And it never happened.
He says...
Nobody's ever been on the moon.
He says that the Valiard, all this goes to prove, is that the Valiard belongs in the Knacker's Yard.
Knacker's Yard.
So then Jesus we cut back. Christ. The Doctor arrives and he says to Drathro, look, I can sort out the black light system.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would you do that? And he goes, well, I came back willingly. Mm-hmm. So I'll do it. Meanwhile, Glitz, Dibber and Perry arrive.
But again, Drathro just goes, that is acceptable then. Oh, you changed your fucking tune. Everyone's just so stupid.
So they go in and Drathro's like, actually, I don't want you to do that because I need this dark energy. And then Glitz goes, oh, well, we got loads of black light on the spaceship, didn't we, Dibber?
This is like literally like a children's story. Like, come with us, computer, and we'll give you the thing. It sounds like a good thing.
Dibber's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, you know, the black light. He goes, oh, yeah, the black light. We've got
even
loads of
that in front of the fucking robot, which is the nuts. Don't tell him.
A robot, by the way, who earlier says that he's superior to human beings.
To all human beings.
But can't pick up on, tones of voice.
And it's got a massive snowplow for an head.
That's a terrible design, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's clever that the elbows, it can be tall because the hands are at the elbows.
That's the only bit I really like about it is actually the look of the robot, because it just looks so mental.
It looks like a Minotaur
compared to the Melkor
robot Minotaur. Yeah, the Melkor is terrible. So they all leave together, and Jaffo's like, "Oh, this is going to be good," and then they get outside and he just drops dead. And then Glitz and Dibber are like, "Oh, because they're after his secrets, which he keeps in a movie canister, probably him in lingerie."
Yeah,
and that's all got melted as well. And they're like, "Oh no!" And then Glitz goes, "Oh, hang on, he's made of special metal.
This isn't a waste of a fortune.
It's not a wasted journey after all." So the Doctor finds the blacklight system is already beginning to self-destruct, reconfigures the system so the explosion is only limited to the underground complex.
That works.
Could have done at the beginning. Anyway,
Dr. Perry and the other humans living underground escape, and the tribe all are happy.
And go, bye-bye, old one.
Doctor and Perry say goodbye. Say goodbye, old one. He goes, old one.
And then pepper sprays it with a machine gun.
And then he goes, and then he turns around the trial and goes, "Oh yeah, you got a point. I killed everyone." No, he turns around the trial and goes, "What was the point of that?
Exactly.
I saved the day." And then he goes, Valiard says, "If you hadn't have got involved, fewer people would have died."
Mm. I'd have loved it if they'd just show, at one point, they'd shown the Doctor on the toilet, and he'd be like, "Valiard, come on, edit these bits out.
Come on.
Yeah.
And he burnt toast on
him, looking left and right and picking his nose and eating it. What's that doing in there?
As you can see, the Doctor is the most evil man.
You scratched your balls and sniffed your hand.
Scratched your balls and shook someone's hand. Oh, come on.
He then says, "Ah, Doctor, this case is merely the beginning, and when it's all over, this court will demand your life."
It's the same ending as episode one.
And that's the mysterious planet.
That's the mysterious planet in record time.
We haven't had enough time in the studio for the three we've just recorded.
Yeah,
so
especially because we're a bit like the two squirrels. We spent episode one talking for an hour and a half. And now
we've got two little 35ers.
We're going to score this out of
100.
Hundreds.
100 glitzes.
100 dibbers.
100 dibbers. 100 dibbers.
I'm going to give this. I enjoy the feel of it. I really like the opening. Mm. I like Colin generally, as we say, but it's not very good. So I'm going to give it 30.
30.
All right. I literally went, "This is really good, first episode." I really liked how it established it all, and then episode two started it, especially when the guards started down in the mobs, they turn up on a fucking wooden train. And I went, "Oh, here we go." Yeah. And then it was just a case of, "Oh, this is, everyone's getting, it's all getting silly now." Mm. Everyone's talking silly, and the plot hasn't, it's just really boring, and it's balls. Yeah. And the Valiard can't really prove anything at this point, so that doesn't help it either. So I'll give it 35.
I like the Colin and Nicola relationship in this one. I think they're developing well. I like that it's like, I just like Mysterious Planet because I like looking at like 80s England when it's like a bit damp and a bit...
it looks fucking horrible in there.
Your reason is you like looking at Earth when it's a bit damp in the 80s.
But there's bits in this when they're in the tribe's camp and you can see like really cold rain falling and it looks miserable. So come on, what's your score?
That's a 70.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
135.
But Tom always defends him and gives him the higher score.
Anyway.
Without you, you wouldn't have a proper mean average.
Correspondence, Colour Horizon Review says, "For a post-apocalyptic wasteland, Ravelock sure is full of fat cunts."
Oh, jeez.
Oh, please, come on.
Tim Coleman says, "It's a beautiful dream when Doctor and Perry get on. A great could this be Earth feel and lovely location work. Then you wake up to the Oxo Mum cosplaying as Danny LaRue, Joan Sims appearing as Mother Goose, and spare robots from Chocoblock. 32 out of 100. Colin Crash Zoom meow."
Hardly concur.
Henry Rubenstein says, "You only have to tweak the script and the cast slightly. This will become a carry-on film. Can picture Windsor Davis and Jack Douglas as Glitz and Dibber, Terry Scott as the robot, and Kenneth Williams as the creepy twins." Andrew F. says, "There's a half good idea in here with the post-apocalyptic London underground, etc., but it's not a great start to the season. I do love Sabalon Glitz, though. But whatever happened to Dibber, we never heard of him again. I can only assume Glitz sold him on for a few grozzits."
Yeah.
Ben Thomas says, "When Trial of a Time Lord came out on VHS, I persuaded a friend, a non-fan, to binge-watch it with me. 6 hours later, he was in the same physical and mental condition as Norman Tebbit when they pulled him out of the wreckage of the Grand Hotel."
God!
The Mysterious Planet was the last complete story by the great Robert Holmes. It's probably not his best work. He died before it aired. But there are a few fun ideas and a larger-than-life cast. Like the rest of the series, the courtroom interludes with Colin and the Oxo mother and the recently outed racist Michael Jason. Oh, slow the pace down. Fun fact, Joan Sims is one of the only four actors to appear in Doctor Who, Wurzel Gummidge, and three Carry On films.
Brilliant.
Can you name the other three?
No.
Tom, I assume this is you.
I had to go.
Babs, Windsor, Pertwee and Baildon. And he said, not Baildon. The other actor was Wurzel Gummidge. Three Carry-Ons and many Doctor Whos.
Oh, excellent.
Bobby Peru.
I'm still thinking.
Let's face it. The story is a full bag of shit. So instead, here's a little fact.
No, it's not that
bad.
During production, Colin Baker, Tony Selby and Joan Sims had pudding eating competitions. Baker won after the other two, gave in after three. Greedy sod.
Is that true? I don't know anymore.
No, and Drathro's head looks like it should be slowly rotating outside a car dealership.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
That's kind of why I liked him.
Michael Winks says, Joan Sims with a machine gun in each hand, a character brought from the unmade Carry-On mass killing, where she enacts a land-blasting revenge on Sid. Sorry, lead-blasting revenge on Sid, Kenneth and Bernie for years of innuendo. Have recently been a Doctor Who convention in Wales with the Valleyard actor Michael Jason voiced his views on diverse casting, utterly embarrassing, and made the Daleks sound like social workers. That's a shame. I like Michael Jason.
Yeah.
I had no idea about him.
I like the fact that he's a bit, like, when he's in the commentary, he's got a bit,
All right.
Nick Burton says, starts off amazingly with the greatest model work on Who and then becomes a trial.
Yes.
Nice. Some nice ideas, including having the Doctor actually like Perry. Tony Sayre is great as Glitz.
Yep.
Joan Sims interesting casting and maybe Merdine is Duggan's direct descendant. 45 out of 100. Stephen Graham says, imagine coming back from cancellation with this. Surprise Grey didn't run it into the broadcast booth and rip the tape out after 10 minutes. Jonathan Roberts says, first hearing the version of the theme tune. Look how they massacred
that
my boy.
Oh, theme tune is so upsetting.
Jonathan Roberts' first scene shows how difficult it is to have cameramen walk backwards in the woods. the Watcher says, the one with two wannabe albinos and an evil robot that you could push over. Ian McCarthy says, first two I deliberately sat down to watch properly and impossible to be objective about. If you watch it now, I'm transported back to 1986 and feel like I've just sat through the football results and roll and rat the series.
Yeah, there you go. I thought you were about to say Ian McKellen then. He'd written to us.
DJ Alpha says, Broken Tooth is an aficionado of the juice of apple. He's played by legendary reggae DJ David Roggedon for some reason.
Oh.
And Mark Hevingham says, I returned from holiday having got my mum to record part one. I didn't like that, she said, as the space station appeared. I thought she was joking. By 5 minutes in, I knew she wasn't. Utter pigsville that I've never been able to get into. Three Drathro robots have 100.
Oh.
And that is it for correspondence. And we've got 3 minutes to spare. This is a record.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. We have done with Colin. Any final thoughts on Colin? Goodbye,
Colin. I'll miss him a lot.
I'm going to miss his stories a lot. I'm going to miss his energy.
Yep.
Him and Perry.
We love you, Colin.
We do.
You're
a good ambassador
for the show, and you remain one.
Yes.
Oh, one of the best.
One of the very best.
On the top.
One of the very best.
Yeah. We've just probably got enough time to do a little a milk of the whatever if you want.
Mm.
Milk of what?
Well, you know him.
Blood Axe.
We shouldn't sully Colin's
last story with Blood Axe.
Well, we'll say farewell, Colin.
Yeah.
Farewell to you, Sir Colin of Who.
Farewell, Perry as well.
Farewell, Perry. Yeah, farewell. No more Perrys. No, there isn't, because we've done
done all of the Trial of the Time Lord now.
We have.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. So now we've only got 4 million Pertwee and Baker.
Until next time.
Keep a wheezing and a groan. It's goodbye for me, John Rain.
It's goodbye for me, Miss Paula.
Goodbye.
Why is there time? Why is there space? Why are there dogs and cats and trees in the human race? And why am I here and not over there? Oh, why?
Oh, why?
Oh, why? And why are there nuns and why do they pray? And where do we go when we pass away? And why, when I ask my dad, does he say, go ask your mom or just go away? And okay, I'll go away, but they won't go away. Ooh, those mysteries. Tomorrow I'll find out, or I should know those mysteries. I don't even know what I don't even know. Those mysteries. They're hanging round and around and round and round. Ooh, those mysteries.
Why is there me? Why does my mother kiss my father occasionally? And why am I sore whenever I'm hit? Oh, why? Oh, why? And why is there France? And why is there Spain? And why am I here? And why is there rain? And why, when I ask my dad, does he say, go ask your mom or just go away? And okay, I'll go away, but they won't go away.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.